I'm Linda Van Valkenburg.
And I'm Ron Gore. And you're listening to the Co-Parent Academy podcast.
I wasn't sure actually who was going to start this morning. So that
ladies
was a,
first.
A fun, awkward moment. So good morning or good afternoon or wherever, whatever time it is when you're listening. We're having a crazy week.
Yeah, we are. So let's count the things. So
I'm
Linda,
glad I don't live with you guys.
Yeah, yeah, tell me about it.
Please stay. Might even be dangerous for you to be sitting in this room right now.
All right. So
worried.
The best moment occurred, I think, for us this week when it was just yesterday and we were standing in our driveway because all of our stuff, most of our possessions are in our garage because our house is being remodeled because it flooded like a month ago.
Yes.
And we were packing up our cars to go to an extended stay hotel for 10 days so that they can redo our wood floors. And while we were doing that, Rebecca's car locked itself with her keys inside.
And we have an extra set of keys, which would be the exact thing that you would do in this
moment. That'd be a winner.
They were moving everything out of our house today, and I thought I was being really responsible by gathering all the keys to all the different things and putting them in my bag.
Right, in the
you
car.
You fixed yourself really well.
And then
well.
I set the bag in the car, closed the door. I did not lock the door. In fact, I couldn't have because I didn't have the keys.
Right.
So I closed the door, and it immediately locked, and we couldn't get in the car.
Right.
And it had all of our stuff in it, including my phone.
So while I was on the phone with roadside assistance to get them to remotely unlock the car, I was looking at my car, my poor, beautiful car, which got hit by a mail truck this week because I was
hit and run by a postal truck.
Yes, by a postal truck.
Because I was parked on the street because I couldn't get in my driveway because of the work vehicles working on my flooded house.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
happy week to us.
And I feel like we're missing like 100 things. I don't know. It feels like every time we turn around, like something.
I got a flat tire.
The other night, our son flooded the laundry room with the washing machine.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it's just.
Actually, that one was a little transparent to me because I was in bed.
Yeah.
Rebecca handled that
whole deal.
I hadn't even heard about that one.
I mean, it was just, I don't know what he did, but I mean, it was totally fixable, but it was also like, I had already been asleep for a while. And
what was also at his normal, like, clothes washing time of like 10:30.
I don't know if anyone else with teenagers, the only time that they are able to clean their clothing, and even if you offer to clean their clothing for them, it's not going to work. The only time their clothes can be washed is at 10:30 at night.
Right.
So,
anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I could go on, but it's, you know, sometimes it's boring to listen to other people's problems.
So that has been our week. So, hey, Linda.
Just in 1 week.
Yeah.
Mine has been very boring. I'm still just clomping around in my boot. So, from my foot surgery a couple of months ago.
Well, that's.
Wow.
That's like a daily one, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you had a nice one. Like when you and I asked you how your morning was, you said you were sitting on the couch,
held my cute little dog and
read the paper.
Yeah.
We'll have those days again.
Minus the dog.
Well, you know what I mean? I would love, but
the whole lemon.
Lemon will snuggle our beautiful cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have those days. If our cat doesn't have a complete nervous breakdown in the next 10 days.
Probably.
So anyways, so today's topic, we'll get right to it. Hey, Linda. What's our topic today?
Well, I picked this topic when I was calm and collected last night reading Reddit. And Reddit's like Instagram to me. I can, since Ron introduced me to Reddit, I can just get lost for hours in it.
Yeah, sorry.
But and I love it because certain topics pop out that it's like, oh, I had three of those just this week with my clients. And so it is a very common topic that people are wondering when to introduce their children to their new significant other. And this particular one was talking about phasing in, blending the families, introducing children to a new partner when they have a child of similar age, which is pretty normal. and that the girlfriend and the guy each have one child, and they're looking for, you know, how to make that happen, and whether or not to inform the other parents, etc. So that is an extremely varied answer, I would say, depending on the age of the children, depending on where the respective separations, divorces, whatever are.
Right, like in the process.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It could be a month out from moving out of your house.
Right.
Several years later, you know. I mean, there's all sorts of variety there.
In fact, this is a whole section that we have planned on our Co-Parent Academy. It's a whole course in and of itself, dealing with step family, blended families, and talking about within that when to introduce, how to introduce, definitely, all those things. But just like a thumbnail. So I know we can start with the worst case scenario.
Right.
Right. You don't want to start.
Like, oh, we could come up with a few of those, right? Probably.
Not maybe the worst. I'll use an indefinite article. Okay. A worst case situation where it's like, oh, hey, we're getting separated. Oh, hey, I'm moving in same day. New family, new house, that would be a bad situation.
Or I know one where, and actually a few come to think of it, where before one parent tells the other parent they're going to want a divorce, or of course tells the children, the parent is already incorporating the new person with the children by taking the children over to that parent's house, or by picking up that person every day on the way to work, and because they work in the same place, that's where they found each other, and then dropping the kids off for school, but that person's in the car with them every day on the way to work. Eef. Yes.
Have you actually had that kind of
situation? Yes, I actually did.
Wow, that's horrible.
And I can tell you, that's one of those that highlights another issue where the father was so wonderful about that to the children, and the children were under 10, both of them, but the father was so wonderful that he never once said anything negative about the mother and the boyfriend to the kids. Therefore, the kids liked the boyfriend instantly. And it was one of those that you would think, well, my goodness, you've already done it way too early, so let's back up from this. Yeah. No, they really liked the guy because dad was okay with it all and somehow normalized it all to the kids.
How long did that new relationship last?
I don't know. You know, a lot of times I don't hear the rest of the story.
I wish it could
be like a television show where they, you know, tell you 5 years later or 15 years later or whatever, but rarely, unless they do have a problem and they come back to me.
Right.
You know, some people will come back after each new separation.
I wonder in those situations where, you know, you're talking about, you know, blending the maybe significant other a little too soon or a lot too soon. I think it would affect different, all negatively, but different age ranges drastically in different ways. So like, say, you know, maybe a young child, you know, you're saying under 10, it may not really hit them fully what's going on. There's a new person, they're interesting, they're fun. But I mean, think about if you have children, a lot of Ron's clients have children that are vastly, you know, their ages range.
Right.
You know, if you're introducing someone, your teen is going to have a much different feeling about this than maybe your 6-year-old.
Totally.
I mean, it's not good in any situation, but you know,
the teen's going to figure it out. What is the dude in the car with us every morning, mother?
Yeah. Or the teen's also the one who's read all the text messages, seen the photographs.
Oh, that too.
Overheard the phone calls.
They're much more astute to like what's going on in the household, you know, beforehand, that's maybe leading up to this. So, I mean, I think it's interesting to
the dynamics
about
between the parents.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the dynamics between the new person, you know, they're much more in tune. So I don't know. I think that it's a difficult answer. Definitely. Just because, I mean, we're talking about blending families, but you know, blending significant others, that's gotta be difficult to gauge what age range and what to do.
Because it's so much deeper than just, should we all meet at the gathering place or where should we meet? Now, we got to back up a whole lot from that and look at the dynamics of where the child is and not just be looking at how the adults are seeing it, but how the child is seeing it. And more often than not, what I hear from children, especially I would say 10 and above, but maybe even down to like 7 or 8, will say, it was just way too quick, Linda. It was just way too quick. I wish they hadn't, you know, gotten involved with somebody else so quickly.
Why is it too quick?
Because the child has not grieved the loss of the family yet. They have to go through a grieving process. And typically the parent who goes elsewhere pretty quickly has known for a long time that they wanted out of that situation. And whether there were actual arguments or worse that the child has observed between the parents, and sometimes it's actually more confusing to the child when they haven't observed that. If they have, they definitely know why one or both would not want to be there, even though they're still upset that they couldn't figure it out or get counseling, or, you know, they mentioned that to me. But when it seems like, wow, one day we were there and the next day we were there, like I've had older kids, even like Rebecca saying, as far as they figured some stuff out, you know, they'll say, I know I had a boy that was accusing his mother of quickly getting in and out of relationships repeatedly. And he said, you know, shoot, so-and-so was there, you know, 1 week, and so-and-so was there like a week later. And mom goes, well, it was really probably a month later. You know, right. to mom, that seemed like a long time.
Yeah.
And to the kid, that was like nothing, you know, probably because the kid was at the father's in between. So maybe the second time I was over there within a month, the guy was there.
Right.
Know? Yeah.
Well, and so a lot of times in that transition period, you have going from one household with a set of finances to establishing two households with a set of financing. And I know finances, and know a lot of times folks are pushed towards getting, moving into significant other because they need the financial help too. I've heard people say that too. Like, well, we wouldn't move in so quickly, except, you know, I can't afford to live on my own. How much child support or alimony do you want to pay me or whatever else? And so that practicality leads to it. Or we're just friends. And then 6 months later, it turns out they're not just friends.
The just friends is almost all the time.
Right.
I hear that. And the older kids are like, yeah, right, you're just friends. And the younger kids may fall for that, and it might work seemingly for them. But it's a very typical thing.
But I can and so I'm trying to steel man the perspective of the person who's moved in with someone that quickly. And I can recognize that there are a ton of just practical considerations that border on impossibilities of trying to build up this new house for yourself. But at the same time, and fairness, like a fundamental fairness, you may not have had a romantic relationship with your spouse for years beforehand. We hear that all the time, that they hadn't been romantically involved, physically and connected in any way for years before the separation. And so, like you said, they've already gotten a head start on the grieving process. You know, if the grieving process is a marathon, the parent who is leaving probably has already run 10 miles.
Right.
And so the rest of the family's just still like, they didn't even know they were supposed to start stretching yet.
Right. It's a good analogy for it.
Yeah. And so we need to have some sympathy for the perspective of the person who is leaving the relationship and has practical concerns or has felt alone and romantically starved for a long time. They got to understand that especially the children are going to take a while. They have whiplash.
Right.
And everybody can understand what it feels like to be blindsided, whether it's you're an adult, you know, if you just think about that, about, you know, from your children's perspective, is that this is going to be a blindsiding to them. Even if you feel like it's been obvious to the family that things aren't great, I think kids can get used to situations really quickly and things become normal for them. And then all of a sudden one parent's gone and it seems like it was a surprise. You know, even if things aren't great, because kids adapt, I think.
Well, and that's what's so worrisome about blending families too quickly is because you get, especially in the immediate aftermath of the separation or divorce, you have people who were not necessarily in their most stable emotional or psychological state. You start blending a family too quickly, and then now you're putting the child through an entire separate set of separation.
Right.
From children, from other children who have been presented to them as essentially siblings.
Oh, instantly.
And, you know, it's almost worse if the children like the new step parent better because yes. now they're losing the one person that was providing them a bit of a port in the storm.
Exactly. And I've had kids that never forget one little gal. She was, I think, 11 or 12 at this point. And her father presented with her to help him out because she was being very disrespectful and noncompliant with his fiance. It's just the way he described it. And so his information was, you know, like pretty cut and dried. And he said, you know, that's all I've really got to say about it. I'm going to let you talk to her. So I didn't even do much of an intake with the dad. And I brought the kid in and she was just delightful. She was so interesting and fun and very sweet and cooperative. And I thought, this isn't matching what he just said. And so I told her my confusion and she laughed and she said, oh, did he call her his fiance? And I said, yes. And she said, did he tell you that there have been 8 of them in the last 4 years since he left my mom? And I said, no, I assumed it was the first one. Thank you for enlightening me.
It's pretty incredible that we can decide in our mind.
Exactly.
It's completely normal.
Well, exactly. On one hand, I'm thinking, like, way to go, dude. Like, you can get 8 different folks to have that relationship with you in that period of time. And then on the other hand, it's like, oh no.
That's averaging about 6 months apiece for fiancés.
I feel like red flag city on that. I mean,
obviously it's red flag, but I don't know. The guy in me is like, hey, like, that's pretty impressive. You're able to get so many people to be interested in you.
Interesting. They just can't last long.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah.
And what was really
I hope he comes with like a sign that like pops up like when he meets someone new. You'll be my 9th or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Now serving.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Like, that's not.
That's great.
He's what he does. Some people need to come with a warning label.
Oh, yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Or one of those like little ticker tape thing that goes across his forehead. But no, she, what reminded me of that case was, you know, the child actually was open to, kind of surprisingly so, because it was real fresh from, but she must have seen her as that port you were talking about, because her description, I was surprised she even remembered the names of all of them.
Yeah.
But she did. I mean, I remember vividly writing the notes down where the first one, I think her name was Jane, and she described her in glowing terms and all the wonderful ways that she treated her and how wonderful she was to her. And then the next one, you know, whatever her name was pretty similar. And it was kind of like watching a funnel narrow, you know, to what the kid was telling me, because she pretty soon, you know, we're down to the current one and it's a drip at the bottom, you know, because there's nothing left to give that one. She her love's all spent for any new person. And I said, I know it's a stupid therapist question, but why is that? She goes, well, she won't be around, but about 6 months either.
Right.
Yeah. It's got to be hard.
Yeah, you can't give your heart to, but so many people, I guess. Well, so then I guess the short answer is there's no easy answer to the question of when and how to introduce, except to say you need to sit back, take a look at all of the circumstances. Consider the ages of your children. Consider the circumstances under which your last relationship ended.
Right.
And to, in any event, to take it slow and don't put any real requirement on your children to form false relationships with these people.
Right.
To give them time to form organically.
And what do you think about this? I mean, I don't know if this is appropriate, but I almost would think also too, I feel like this gets lost so much in these situations, like listening to your kids, you know, like, so introduce them, like, you know, don't just say, oh, well, you know, he's, you know, a 13, he doesn't like anybody, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, like really mm-hmm. listen to what your kids are saying,
right.
you know, if you do have a meeting of some kind and like right. ask them questions other than like, you know, leading questions where you're sort of saying,
of course,
this is how I would like you
to like them, right?
Yeah. Wasn't that great? Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing, you know, ask your kids really good questions about how they feel, to really maybe get at how they're feeling, maybe about this person in general. Maybe they're seeing something that you don't see, and also just maybe how they're feeling about the situation in general. And it wouldn't matter who it was, even if it was the best person ever, they're just not ready to meet somebody new at the moment.
So how would you go about that, Linda?
Well, I wouldn't let them pick them out on dating sites. I do hear those stories swipe too. Right. Yeah. What do you think about this one? You know, although one mother who did that, her son said, I do have much better insight to what else could be going on with the dudes, because, you know, he was seeing kind of con men right and left. His mother didn't see the rest of that story.
Maybe he was meeting the guy with the 8 fiancés.
Uh-oh, yeah.
It could have been I bet too. You he's on a lot of apps, I imagine.
Her son was very bright, and he was pretty astute to those kinds of things. And just in, you know, a conversation or two with her new guy, he could figure out, wait a minute, now that means he doesn't even have a job and he still lives with his mother or his sister or, you know, something like that. So no, I understand, I really do get it that there is it's hard enough when you're a single person, mother or father, to be dating somebody. And even if you don't have children, it is very difficult. Shoot, sometimes it's even hard to find somebody who does or doesn't like cats or dogs or something like that, yeah. You know? And so then it's really extra difficult if you have children of whatever age or developmental stage to know when to involve them, because how deep do you want to get in this relationship before you find out if they're really stupid with kids or, you know, scary or whatever, you know, and yet you don't want to involve them with your child too soon. It is a good question.
Yeah.
So I guess part of that would be a lot of times in that situation, you're hooking up with someone who already has kids themselves.
Right.
So I would much rather subject their kid to that contact than my own.
To watch how they are with their own children.
That's
a good point.
I would, and also, you know, I know that my child tends to be better behaved with strangers than he is in our home. So I would imagine that.
His children are that way.
Right. So I would imagine that there's some sort of inverse or converse of that, where he would probably be better with your kids than he is with his own kids. So to see how he treats his own children or her own children first and not make your kids the guinea pigs.
Or even nephews or nieces or, you know.
Right.
Somebody, if he's coaching a team of some sort with kids, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of ways to involve them around children.
Just drop them off at the elementary school.
There you go.
If he's not allowed near an elementary school, that would be another flag.
Let that be your red flag.
Yeah. That'd be a quick answer.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess that's one way. I mean, I don't know. At some point, obviously, you're going to have to, you get to move on. You get to live your life.
Yeah.
But I think the answer is, it's probably a whole lot slower than you want if you're the person looking for a relationship. Definitely. And a whole lot faster than your kid wants.
And use the time that you don't have your children with you. If you are, you know, a parent who has a co-parent that is helping them, and I hope you see it that way when they have their time with the children, that you see that as them helping you and you having a chance to, you know, live a single life at that point.
Right. And also, you know, when you have your kids with you, especially if it's been kind of a tumultuous time at the end of the relationship, your children may really crave some just alone time with you.
Yes.
And introducing another person may make them think, well, they don't even want to spend any time alone with me. They're only seeing me, you know, half the time or whatever it is. And even then, I don't get time just with them.
I have heard so many children say that. And what's extra frustrating for me, especially following therapeutic visitation or reconciliation case, where just had this happen recently, where when they actually were over there just for 4 hours on a weekend, the parent was on their phone the entire time.
Yeah.
There was no real interaction, and that just boggles my mind when that's the case. You fought so hard to get that interaction with your children, supposedly, and then you don't actually use it.
Okay, Linda, what do you want to say to wrap this up?
Well, I very much agree with Ron that taking it slowly is the best way to go, and much slower than you want it to be. Because, you know, when we fall in love with somebody, we instantly want everybody that we love to know and love each other. But the children have told me repeatedly through the years that their best time, if there could be such a thing, in their parents' separation or divorce has been when they were able to have those parents independently, one-on-one, or just, you know, the kids with that one parent, right, before they got involved with other people. And many times the parent is feeling lonely for adult company and is very interested in finding somebody else and not really focused on that fact. So that's pretty wonderful time for your children. Remember that.
All right. Words of wisdom.
Yeah. Until next time. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to leave questions, comments, or concerns, please email podcast@coparentacademy.com. And please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.